ladies and gentlemen, it's the moment you've all been waiting for. It's the Stephanie Miller Show and Operation Take Back America.
Stephanie Miller Show. I'm Bree Walker, filling in for Stephanie. It's 6 past the hour on the raucous caucus that is this Thursday. You know, apart from the challenges of how dedicated a voter must be in Iowa to even do the raucous caucus, there are some serious questions about how the votes are tallied and how the results are made available. You know that you have to show up in person. You have to get out in that weather, 2 degrees, which with wind chill, sometimes it's 10 and 15 below. And although that is something that is not that big a challenge for most Iowans in general, the fact that they have to spend 2 hours talking with the candidates in order to cast a vote is a daunting task for lots of folks. If they work nights, they probably can't make it. Voters have to present themselves in person at a specific hour and stay for as long as 2 hours. And just a tiny percentage of Iowans will actually participate, just like prior caucuses. In 2000, the last year in which both parties held caucuses, about 59,000 Democrats and 87,000 Republicans voted in a state with just under 3 million people. In 2004, 124,000 people turned out for the Democratic caucuses, and this is the more complicated of the caucuses. So it's down to the wire. Obama with a slight lead over it at this moment, putting Clinton in third place. Huckabee, Romney, neck and neck, kind of there. McCain gaining some ground a little bit, but a dead heat there as well. So it's a little bit, convoluted. It might be an arcane institution, these caucuses, these cauci. It might be quite, but is it helpful is the question when there's so much question about how votes are tallied and how results are made available in the caucuses themselves. Does it make any difference that we have questions about whether the machines are correct in something like a caucus where it's still people voting and putting their imprimatur on something physical? So Brad Friedman is on the line to give us a look at exactly what the issues might be in terms of credibility and accuracy in taking a vote tally at the caucus. Welcome, Brad Friedman of the Bradblog.com, Mr. Election Integrity Jedi himself.
Thank you, Bree. How are you this morning?
All better than I deserve, I'm sure.
And, you know, speaking of credibility, before I jump into your questions about Iowa, let me just point out, since 2006, since the election, and since there was, by the way, questions that are still unresolved about the 2006 election itself, the media, the corporate mainstream media, I mean, led by Tim Russert in this case, has been unable to stop talking about the horse race of the presidency, the White House, which is all well and good, and I used to enjoy that sort of thing as well. But, you know, before we talk about Iowa, let me just toss out the idea that no one else is talking about the elephant in the living room, if you will, the elephant in the White House, if you will. There's still a guy sitting in the White House who, frankly, does not only not deserve to be there because he didn't win, but the fact is, he's still committing crimes, high crimes and misdemeanors, and the press is having such a great time with themselves, reporting on a horse race for 08.
I got a visual, but it was X-rated, so.
Well, you know what? That's just about what it is. I mean, these guys, you still got a guy committing crimes in the White House. Someone needs to bring some accountability to this guy.
So these candidates in Iowa are going to be the ones, likely, to do that job, but you don't even and trust the process of the votes you tallied in Iowa, Brad?
No, well, it's not a matter of not trusting it. The point is, our democracy is not built on trust. It's built on checks and balances and trust. That's right, and that's the concern about Iowa, by the way, as with all of the elections that we're going to be looking at in the year ahead, which is, you know, can we see how our votes are being tabulated and the chain of custody and this entire process needs to be transparent. Now, in Iowa, you've got, of course, a unique situation in that you've got these very sort of strange, particularly on the Democratic side, these strange procedures that are done to tally the votes and so forth, and the horse trading, and, you know, if you don't have enough people to get Liddy, 15% or 25%, whatever it is in your precinct, then you've got to vote for a different candidate and so forth. So it's a very strange procedure.
But is it difficult because of its strange nature? Is it difficult to ensure that the tallies are done accurately and that there's follow-through on showing the results and how those results came to be?
I think here's where the difficulty comes in. In one sense, it's good. It's very transparent because people have to show up in person, and you can count with your own eyeballs in each precinct how many people are there, how many people are supporting candidate X, candidate Y, candidate Z. Okay, where it becomes difficult is that when they take those precinct numbers, they're then sent into a black hole. They're sent up to someone somewhere at the county, at the Republican level, and they supposedly tally all of these the precinct measures and report them back to us, and we all say, oh, okay, that's who won, that's who lost. We have no idea unless they post the precinct results before they're sent back to the county or the state. There's no way for there to be real citizen oversight and, you know, make sure that what you got is actually what the people were voting for.
Why couldn't they post them right there?
There's no reason why they couldn't. And it's, you know, we've been trying to push them to do exactly that. Blackboxvoting.org has been trying to push both parties to do exactly that. They've been coy about it, saying, well, we're going to or we're not going to. By the way, in Kenya this last week underscored this once again. You've got to post the results. You've got to count at the precincts. And furthermore, you've got to post those results at the precincts before they get back to central headquarters. Quarters, whatever that may be, where anything and everything could happen. That's exactly what happened in Kenya.
And right, where tribalism and corruption basically were the tools to hold on to power with no accountability there at the polls.
Well, that's right, but the EU observers, the election observers, one of the reasons that they were able to say that there seems to be fraud here is because they had the precinct numbers before they went back to central, and they found out that those precinct numbers became inflated. That can only happen, though, if those numbers are made public. And this needs to happen not just in Iowa, but in every other primary this year, and then, of course, in the general election, so that the people can monitor what happened. I'm not saying that there's going to be funny business tonight or any time this year. In fact, who knows? The point is, we need to know. We need to know for sure that there was not funny business, and the way to do that is transparency, transparency, transparency.
What has happened when folks have followed the advice of blackboxvoting.org, because they're doing a wonderful job recommending how to be a citizen journalist and do it relatively professionally. That is, show up with a video camera or a camera and actually show what's happening in your individual caucus. Do you think that that is happening, or are people being pressured to leave the cameras at home and not turn in any information to Black Box Voting that will compile the truth?
Well, I have not yet heard of anybody being, you know, pressured to not bring a camera. We'll see what happens tonight. Bev Harris has been telling folks, as have I, if you're at the Iowa precincts, if you're at the caucuses, you know, bring your video camera, bring your still camera. If there are results at the end of the night that are written down, and they should be, you know, results signed by the precinct captain there, get a photograph of those at the precinct then and there. It may sound paranoid, but I would suggest...
I don't think anything sounds paranoid anymore in our world.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. And after the last two presidential elections, and hell, Iowa 4 years ago, you know, just to underscore the sort of situation you have, let's say you have a very popular, just to make it not political for the moment, let's say you have a very popular candidate, such as a Howard Dean in Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not a favorite of the party establishment, who might prefer someone like, say, a John Kerry. Well, you can go to the, you can see that, you know, at your precinct that these at these caucuses, you can see that John Dean did very well in your caucus. But surprise, surprise, that night when the results come out from the Democratic Party, turns out that John Kerry won. Now, how did that happen? Did he legitimately win, or did something happen with the numbers after they left the precinct? If we had those precinct numbers, we would know, there would be no question, and there wouldn't be all of these concerns about, oh, did the party do this or that because he's their, you know, the party guy or something like that. That's why these things are important.
Oh, Brad, you just nitpick so. You know it's really not about the votes, the tally. It's really about the spectacle. I mean, this is a cross between, say, voting in a primary and like getting together rooms, you know, and discussing stuff before a convention.
It is, yes, us nitpickers for democracy are concerned about such things and think that it would be a nice change of
what
pace.
What a drag you are.
I know. It would be a nice change of pace, though, just for fun, if the person who received the most votes actually won these elections this time around and we were able to all know it.
You expect so much in a limited democracy, Brad.
A what?
You expect so much in a limited democracy.
Oh, we are a limited democracy, are we?
A closing democracy.
Apparently we are at this rate. But
while we're making some headway in some of the efforts that, I mean, you are tireless in the election integrity area. You've been named Time Magazine's 2006 Person of the Year for your tireless work as an investigative citizen journalist blogger. And I got to tell you, Brad Blog is always one of my favorite places to go because you're there days ahead of everybody else on issues that affect whether we do have an open democracy or not, which means election integrity issues. Are we making progress in this area at all in any states?
We're definitely making progress. And I should correct you on the Time Magazine. Everyone was named Person of the Year.
I know.
Okay, just wanted to make sure that people...
I put a mirror on
idea.
Put them
right.
On.
No, so
we have really smart listeners.
We're making progress all over the country, and in fact, these electronic voting machines, these infernal, nightmarish devices that can never be used safely with a democracy that's with or without a so-called paper trail, Bree. You need a paper ballot, not a paper trail on a touchscreen machine. Those things are absolutely meaningless. So, yeah, we're making progress. These systems are being decertified in one state after another. Ohio just released a massive study showing that these things can be hacked.
Colorado, too, right?
Colorado, with the Republican Secretary of State, did similarly.
I love that.
It's happening in state after state, but, as usual, it's happening too late to make much of a difference.
I read that on your blog last night, too late to make much of a difference. I just wanted to cry. I know how hard you've been working in this issue, and to hear you say that, it's, oh, my.
Well, look, it is disappointing, and you know I'm delighted to see that finally the national media is jumping into this game and reporting on what's going on. But the stuff that you know, Bree, if you read BradBlog.com over the last couple of years, there's nothing new. We've been yelling and screaming about the problems with these machines. So it's really going to be the people here that make the difference. And that's why the focus, at least on Iowa, today is on the people to document what's going on. But it's the same thing in all of these primaries in November. The people are the ones who need to get involved, to become poll workers, poll judges.
And that is what's exciting about Iowa. It may be true that by spending $400 per voter on the Iowa caucus, it's a big waste of money for lots of folks. But just the idea that there's coverage like this, no matter where you go, if you turn on TV, you're going to see Iowa caucus. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of cool. I mean, just re-engaging us in the political discussion process, I think, is improvement. For a lot of people, as you know, so much better than I do, Brad, if you get into the election integrity issues, there are so many layers and discussions that get confusing. You have to really carefully pick and choose which part of the election integrity issue you're going to discuss in a room.
Well, it's true, but the question is, can you see it? Can you confirm it before, during, and after? I mean, it's not even a particularly high bar to meet here. Anyone, you don't need to be a rocket scientist. You don't need to be an election expert. You don't need to be a computer expert. And people have given the impression, you know, that you do, that you have to, you know, be some sort of expert to understand it. Can you see the votes that people cast? Can you see them the whole time? Do they leave the visible chain of custody? Can you, if you want, after an election, go in and count the ballots yourself if you have a question about an election?
How much of the caucus is done the same way, where they use these suspicious machines?
A little bit different in the Republican and the Democratic side. On the Democratic side, as I say, it's the people showing up, and they stand there in groups, and you can literally see warm bodies. Well, warm-ish bodies. It is Ohio. But see warm bodies and count, you know, how many
There's a lot there. Of hot air in the room there, well, from the politicians, true. Though, keeping things warm.
And on the Republican side, they actually vote on a piece of paper, I'm told, and put it in a box, and they count it. Now, how is it counted? We don't know. I don't think it's an electronic voting machine, for example. But they do take that those precinct totals, and they put them into somebody's computer somewhere, some tabulator, add them up, and out come the numbers from perhaps the magical election fairy.
Who's responsible for the oversight on that particular process in the caucus?
Don't know.
If you don't know, then it definitely is just this amorphous thing out there, right?
Yeah, it's the parties. It's the guys in the back room at the parties.
The ones who paid for the caucuses.
Do it ourselves. If we have those precinct numbers, you and I, Bree, can, you know, with a calculator, can add up who it was, who should be the winner here. But if they don't give those precinct numbers, there's no way to know. You end up with faith-based elections where you just have to trust the numbers that you have been given.
Oh, Brad Friedman, as always, you are exceptional and tireless. And yes, Time Magazine's 2006 Person of the Year. Right alongside me, baby. Brad, always talk to you. Thank you for all the hard work that you do, helping folks understand what is election integrity, why we need it so much to bubble up as a hot topic all the time till we fix this train wreck. The axle is broken on that vehicle, baby. It is 22 after. I'm Bree Walker, filling in for Stephanie on the Stephanie Miller Show.